In just two words, Jesus proves his humanity as he hangs on the cross. Two words prove his sufferings were real. We hear him say, "I thirst," not understanding how painful that thirst had to be. Today, we come to grips with the awful price Jesus paid to reconcile us with God the Father. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Let's take another step on that journey as we consider the fifth of the seven cries, a cry of suffering.
The creator of the oceans and rivers, thirsty. Imagine the one who brought water out of the rock, thirsty. Imagine the one who said, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink," and he himself is thirsty. Imagine, if you can, omnipotence with parched lips. As you know, this is a series of messages on the cries from the cross. The first three cries had to do with others. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." The middle cry, about which we spoke last time, the dramatic cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That had to do with the Father and his relationship to the Son. But the last three cries from the cross have to do with Christ himself. Today we come to the words, "I am thirsty." This message is calculated, I think, if we listen correctly and if our hearts are open to the Holy Spirit, to change our perspective of suffering. And if you're suffering, please listen. But there's more to it than that. It is going to give us a spirit of refreshment as we begin to understand what Christ accomplished for us. And for those of you who are confused, it will give you hope. There is a way out of the dilemma that confronts you. Jesus, in these marvelous cries from the cross, is teaching us not only how to live, but he's teaching us how to die. And today we're also going to learn how to die. The text is found in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 19, and I'm picking it up at verse 28. "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, he said, 'It is finished,'" which is cry number six that we will speak about next time. An awesome, awesome comment. "It is finished." What is it that this cry, "I thirst," what does it teach us about Jesus? I'd like to suggest it teaches us three characteristics that he was experiencing here on the cross and in his life. The first, of course, is it explains to us and helps us to grasp his suffering, the suffering of Jesus. Now, I have to tell you that most people struggle with the deity of Christ. They say, "I can't believe that Christ is God." We as evangelicals have an opposite problem. It's hard for us to accept fully the humanity of Jesus Christ. There's something scandalous about the idea that he would be weary, that he would sleep, and that he would eat, and he would drink, and he would say, "I thirst." But remember the prophecies of the Old Testament. They predicted that there would be a Savior who would come who would be fully man and fully God. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There's the humanity. But then what does he say? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Read the Old Testament, and Jesus is spoken of as the seed of the woman, but he's also spoken of as the one whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Deity and humanity in one person. Two natures united in that one person. And so Jesus Christ, when he said on the cross, I am thirsty, what thirst he must have endured. Oh, I want us to try to grasp it a little bit. The words are so inadequate. You remember that Jesus Christ was arrested, and when he was there in the garden, the Bible says he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. His body was constantly losing fluid. He spends his night in a dungeon. He's taken to various trials. His back is lacerated. He loses blood. He is asked to carry his cross. When he gets to Calvary, he hangs there, as we have learned, for 3 hours in the sunlight, from 9 a.m. till noon. Then there are 3 hours of darkness. Crucifixion was known as a slow process of dehydration. His body has been losing all of these fluids, and there has been no refreshment. There has been no drink that he has received. And now he says, I thirst. Can we even grasp it? Not only was it the thirst physically, but there was a thirst spiritually, because there is an ambiance, there is a sympathy between the body and the soul. And Jesus Christ, in his great distress, as we noticed last time, as he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the midst of all that, his distress and his thirst increased, for the scripture says, a broken spirit drieth the bones. David says, when I was in spiritual conviction, he says, it was as if my body dried up. And Jesus Christ's body is drying up. Listen to this description of Psalm 22, what he was going through. He says, and this is, of course, a prophecy, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I don't know whether it's true or not. Those of you who are Swedish, would you come up later and either affirm or deny this? But I read last night that the Swedish word for thirst is actually at root the same word for fire, because I think that there is a thirst that is a fire. And Jesus here, when he said, I thirst, he was enduring the fire of God's wrath. He was enduring the fire of hell, and his body was being lacerated and in grief. And he says, I thirst. God the Father does not thirst. Angels do not thirst. These are the words of a dying man, the humanity of Jesus. I thirst. Are you going through pain today? Are you going through a time of difficulty physically? Are there desires within you that are not being met? Jesus was there. He thirsted. We see the suffering of Jesus, but that's not all that we see here in this marvelous remark. We also see the submission of Jesus. Now I have to ask you a question. Why did Jesus not come down from the cross when he was taunted? He could have. We're talking about omnipotence. Why did Jesus not create water within his mouth? He could have created a stream of water that would have refreshed him. All of that was within his ability. But he did not do that. Why? As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus never really did anything, any miracle, to in some way promote himself. You remember, he did not turn stones into bread, and he did not create water within his mouth, as he certainly could have. Why? I read it in the text. Maybe you missed it, because we read the scripture so often that sometimes we forget the context. You'll notice it says this, later, verse 28, knowing that all was completed. And underline this now, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus said, I thirst. It's the fulfillment of scripture. Everything that Jesus did was a fulfillment of Scripture, wasn't it? You notice, for example, he came to die and he was born in Bethlehem according to the fulfillment of Scripture. How was the birth going to take place? The Scripture said, a virgin shall conceive. Where is he going to be born? The Scripture says, Bethlehem is the town. And then after Jesus Christ is born, they go into Egypt. Why? That the Scripture might be fulfilled. Read the book of Matthew and you see over and over again, this happened and that happened, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. All that Jesus Christ was concerned about was the fulfillment of the will of God and the Scripture. In the volume of the book, it is written, to do thy will, O God. In eternity past, the Father and the Son agreed on the agenda that Jesus Christ would live here on earth. And therefore, the prophecies were given, all of the details were worked out, and now he is thirsty that the Scripture might be fulfilled. What Scripture is he talking about? He's speaking about Psalm 69. It says, scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none, for comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. That's Psalm 69, verse 20 and following. You see, it's not only true that Jesus Christ went through this, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, but that the details of the Scripture might be fulfilled. This was exactly what they had tried to give him, as we shall see in a moment, the gall and the vinegar. And to the detail, the very content of the drink was predicted. And so Jesus was willing to suffer. Why? That the Scriptures would be fulfilled. Certainly we can't hear a message like this without being impressed with the accuracy of the Scripture. The fact that Jesus went through all that he experienced here on earth, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He had the highest regard for God's Word. So I need to ask you this question. If Jesus believed so much in the Scripture that he said, not one jot or tittle shall pass until all the law is fulfilled, if that was his commitment to the Old Testament, do you and I believe God's Word? Do we believe it with the exactness and the sense of conviction and authority that Jesus had? Oh, I encourage you today to open your Bible, begin to read it, begin to understand. Because you will discover, as I have, that as you read it, it all points to the cross, which is, of course, the basis of this series of messages. And Jesus was here saying, I thirst that the Scripture might be fulfilled, fulfilling it in detail, and then, of course, going to heaven and offering us today the gift of eternal life that he died to bring us. So from my heart to yours today, would you trust Christ? And if you're already a believer, would you transfer your burdens to him? He's been through it all, and he can carry us all the way home.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part one of A Cry of Suffering, another in an 8-part series of messages on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, more on a cry that fulfilled the prophecy of Psalm 69. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross, it's more than a series. It's a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer that we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.